I'd like to begin by reading a short poem by Jane Hirschfield. It's called Mountainal. It's a funny title, the word mountain with the suffix AL added to it. The meaning of that will become clear in the course of the poem. Mountainal by Jane Hirschfield. This first light mountain, its east peak and west peak. Its first light creeks, Lagunitas, redwood, fern. There are fishes and mosses. It's night and day, hawk life, slope life, fogs, coyote, tan oaks, white speckled amata, its spider webs, sequins. To be personal is easy. Wake. Slip arms and legs from sleep into name, into story. I have wanted to be mountainal, wateral, renal. The last one there is from the bird, wren, WRENAL, if that wasn't clear. When I first read this, I was struck by that line, to be personal is easy. I think for most of us right now, to be personal feels anything but personal, feels very vulnerable. And I think the poem can, at one level, describe what it's like to want to escape the personal into something that will be impersonally powerful, like a mountain. There used to be the kind of instruction in Zazen that told you to sit like a solitary mountain peak, right? To sit with that sense of power, the absolute, as just this, just this. And in moments of terrible vulnerability, we can wish that our practice would provide us with that kind of refuge into something that is solid, stable, almost eternal. And there is a way in which our sitting can provide that sense of deep stability. It becomes something of a still, steady, solid place in the midst of the anxiety and confusion and vulnerability of our ordinary lives. And it's not a bad thing to be able to cultivate that kind of self-regulating steadiness in our sitting, to make the sitting part of our daily life, where whatever going on, we can just show up to this moment, be present to it, And this will hold and support us through hard times. And yet Joko always warned us that sitting should not be a retreat or an oasis. It's fine to have the capacity to calm yourself down and steady yourself down. But if Zazen is only a calm interlude in a turbulent life, then life is always intruding, always fighting it, always, in some sense, your enemy, something you're trying to hold at bay. So I think Jane's poem starts with setting up this dichotomy between the personal and the mountainal, kind of articulates the temptation of creating that kind of dichotomy. But I think she moves past it, because as she describes the mountain, she starts describing it in all its particulars, its creeks, its trees, its foliage, including the mention of a little poisonous mushroom, the manata. And ends with the wren, a little vulnerable bird. To be natural, in one sense, is to be like the mountain, the rivers, the great sequoias. But it's also to be like the wren, vulnerable and short-lived. So in a sense, the poem is pointing to something we talk about a lot, this identity of the absolute and the relative. We're not making a split between the personal and the mountainal, but we're seeing them interpenetrate. We see one being a version of the other. Sometimes this practice is described as coming to see things just as they are. And for some people, they imagine that means that we're going to pierce through the veil of appearance and discover the hidden depths, the hidden meaning, the ground of being. Emptiness, as if all these things are behind the curtain of mere appearance of what is. And there's a way in which we can see our practice as settling into depths, especially when we're not used to sitting in long silence. We can feel like we're going into the depths of silence or the depths of our own inner life. And to the extent that we've kept parts of ourselves split off or dissociated, it's true. We have to go down into those things and bring them up to the surface. Let them appear in the mirror of each moment so we can look at them and say, yes, that's me. That's me. But the longer I do this practice, the more I feel that it's a matter not of plumbing unknown depths, but becoming more and more superficial, of allowing ourselves to stay with the very nature and surface of things. When we see things how they are, nothing is hidden. Moment after the moment, the world shows us impermanence and interdependence. It's the most obvious thing in the world. Yet it's a frightening thing. And so we have a tendency to try to replace impermanence with permanence in our own mind or imagination. Imagining a permanent ground of unchanging being behind this changing world, a heaven or a transcendental realm of some sort. And all our practice over and over, what it does is somehow bring us back down to earth, out of our fantasy life, out of that fantasy of permanence, into being able to simply look at what's in front of us in the world. Impermanence, interconnectedness, vulnerability. None of those things are hidden. As we practice, what does it mean to encounter the absolute? Is that some profound inner experience? We might have those, but really, as our practice matures, what the absolute means is to treat everything and everybody and every moment as if they actually matter, right? Taking care of things, taking care of little things, taking care of each other as if we matter. You know, there, Joko didn't want to hear about your special experiences on the cushion. She just watched and see, did you leave a glass in the sink for somebody else to wash? Or did you put the chairs back under the table neatly? Or did you treat those things as if they didn't matter, as if they were trivial? So much of what practice comes down to is just taking care of one thing after another, as if it matters. As if this is it. This may be the last thing I do. Or this is the act that defines my character and who I am. This is the mark I'll leave in the world, how I take care of this last thing in this moment. That's the absolute. And I think Jane recognizes that in this last line of the poem, where we do not escape the personal by becoming like mountains. We see that being personal should be being mountainal, being personal as the particular human expression of just this moment. So let us sit like a mountain. Sit like a wren. Sit like a person.